Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of Truth, Apostolic State Attorney Congregation of God the Self. In the Elgin, Texas, today is May the 20th, 2023. It is the first day of Sivan, the New Moon Sabbath. This is the highest Sabbath day. And we're going to start our first service with a song and when we walk with the Yah. When we walk with the Yah in the flight of His word, for the glory He sits on obey. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, and we'll walk by His side and we'll pray. What He says we will do, whether He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey.
Prayer thought, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll go into a sermon which is going to be taken from Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. We're going to be dealing with Isaiah, the synopsis of Isaiah's prophecy. We're on about number 3 of that. And it's going to be Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. And it's going to start on page 162, where we left off from our last service. And meanwhile, we're going to go into a prayer thought now. A correction, that is Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. And we're on page 162. We'll start with a little review from our last study. First, we're going to do a prayer thought, though, taken from Psalm 81. It says, sing aloud unto the Yahweh our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of the Jacob. Take the psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. blow up the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained and Joseph for a testimony when he went out to the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, which, let's do it again, I am the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, that brought thee out of the land of the Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, that my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would not admit. So I gave them up unto their own harsh lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries, for the haters of the Yahweh would have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured forever. And I should actually say that, for the haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, ones that we brought out of the land of Egypt. That's what David is talking about. Those that rebelled against Yahshua in the wilderness, because he was that rock in the cloud, Yahshua, that went with Moses to bring the children of Israel and a lot of Egyptians out of the land of Egypt. They all came out together. And he says, for the haters, there were the Korathites and the bonds. Moses' ten folks there in the wilderness that tried to take over the priesthood and the leadership from Moses. And Moses talked with Yahweh about it, and Yahweh said, well, speak the word and I'll do it. And so Moses said, well, peradventure Yahweh would open up the earth and swallow them up all at once. They all go down the pit together. And so when Moses spoke that, the earth opened his mouth and swallowed up his enemies. Well, these are the ones that David was talking about there. He said, for the haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time, that their time should have endured forever. Or should have, it could say, verily their time should have endured forever. For he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. So Yahshua, he could have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock. That's talking about the ten folks to Israel, Moses' ten folks, and they led a rebellion there in the wilderness, and to raise up their own leadership to take over the leadership of Moses and to cause all of the remnant of Israel to be destroyed in the wilderness. And so this brings the end of our prayer thought for this time. We'll close now with that, and we'll have our prayer, and then we'll go into our sermon. Okay, our study is synopsis of Isaiah's chapters 54 through 66. We're on part 3. We're on page 162 of Shepherd Rod, volume 1. And we're going to do a little review backwards. We're going to go back to page 160. A people prepared for a new heaven and a new earth, Isaiah 65. Okay, Isaiah 65:1, it says, I am sought of them that ask not for me, and found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. For the language used in this verse is in the past tense. However, there is a chance for an argument as to whether it be in the past or present tense, as it is translated in the King James Version. For the following, which is altogether in the past tense, is quoted from the Hebrew translation by Isaac Rasha. I allowed myself to be sought by those that asked not. I let myself be found by those that sought me not. I said, here am I unto a nation that called itself not by my name. For the Greek also, as the Bulgarians, are in the past, a tense. But let us quote the same verse that was quoted by the Paul unto the Romans, as it is in the King James Version, Romans 10:20. Verily the Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Certainly no one can dispute the language used by the Paul, for he was well educated in both the Hebrew and the Latin tongues. Furthermore, Paul made the translation with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must believe this scripture as it is translated by him, from the Hebrew unto the Greek. In the past tense, we shall speak of Isaiah 65:2, and then come back with the thought, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, that walketh in his very in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Note that while the first verse is in the past tense, the second is in the present tense. For the Paul applies the first verse unto the Gentiles in his time, but the second unto Israel after the flesh. Here is an opportunity for the concentration of the thought up on the subject. For the Paul is applying the scripture in the past tense unto the present time in his day, but the scripture in the present tense he applies unto a people in the past. The way that the application was made certainly does not sound grammatically correct. Really, we cannot say Paul made a mistake, for the application and translation must be right as well as grammatically correct. For the wisdom used in this scripture is amazing, and it should cause us to give glory unto our Father Yahweh. For the Paul, with the spirit of inspiration, made the application. So as for the clearing of the scripture from the apparent complication, for the chapter was not written for the Israel, nor for the Gentiles in the Paul's day, very directly for the church at the present time, that is the Adventist church then. If this can be proven, we must accept it as the present truth directly from the Yahweh. For the scripture being grammatically incorrect, every application proves that the time for this chapter was not yet right. For the same as the other scriptures and prophecies, it could not be understood nor correctly applied until the time appointed. Then the Yahweh reveals his word unto his people in the manner that he will choose, that it may come in an unexpected way. For the first verses, now we're going to pick up anew, or the sermon now from the old. For the first verse rightly applies unto the Gentiles. For the second was applied unto Israel after the flesh, which is a type of Israel by the promise, 144,000. For the church at this present time, namely the Seventh-day Adventist, for this reason Paul had to apply the scripture unto the type. For the true was not yet in the existence. Now, the time being ripe, the scripture is grammatically correct. For the first verse is a past tense for the Gentiles in the Paul's time. For the second unto the church at this present time and the present time. Thus we have the positive proof of the application and the time that this scripture applies. For this should turn our hearts unto the Yahweh and cause us to search diligently for the prophecy contained in this chapter. Space will not permit for the present here to present. For the space will not permit to present here all this chapter contains. Only an outline of some of the things will be given. For the charge against the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not a pleasant one, but it ought not to discourage any one of us. For our Yahweh is merciful and willing to forgive us of our sins if we would but acknowledge our guilt. Had it not been so, he would not have sent the message. For the last part of the ISS 65:3 is quoted here. The sacrifices in the gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of the brick. For we must understand that these are symbols. Really, they are not hard to decipher. Had it been impossible to be understood, no one could profit by it. Therefore, the symbol would not have been used in the chapter, for the gardens are used for a display. Sacrifice is the same as a gift. Incense, according to Revelation 8:3 and 4, is the way prayers are sent unto Yahweh. Nowhere in the Bible can we read of any of Yahweh's people building altars of brick. Altars unto Yahweh were always built with the stone. For the difference between brick and stone will now be considered. It says that for the brick is a product of the man. Verily, stone is the workmanship of the Yahweh. Let us now consider the lesson intended here. Gardens, displays, sacrifice, gifts, incense, prayers, bricks, man-made proposition. For the charge is, we sacrifice for the display. For we offer our prayers unto Yahweh upon the altars of the brick, and we follow after the man instead of the Yahweh's pure word as given for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Isaiah 65:4, that remain among the graves and lodge in the monument, that eat the swine's flesh and the broth of the abominable things is in their vessel, and the graves and the monuments, meaning man-made devices of which there is no resurrection. Swine's flesh, broth of the abominable things, means disregard of the health reform. man eats whatever his lustful appetite craves for. Isaiah 65:5, which says, stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. While this class is not living the truth, yet they think they are better than others, and being so high-minded by their actions, they say, we are holier than thou. In the sixth verse, Yahweh said, he will recompense into their bosom by the information already given. The reader can determine the meaning of the seventh verse, Isaiah 65:8. For thus saith Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake, such that I may not destroy them all. Cluster is composed of many grapes and is a symbol of the church as a body. For the Yahweh says he will not destroy them all, for the wine in the cluster represents the blood of the Yahshua. Anytime you see the word wine, it represents blood, no matter what. And for this reason, all are not destroyed. For the 10th verse speaks of the promise unto those who shall escape. For the 11th and the 12th verse speaks of a class that shall perish. For the slaughter here is the same as that of the Ezekiel 9, according to Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you unto the sword, and you shall all bow down unto the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Isaiah 65:13-14. Show Yahweh's care over his people and the suffering of the other class, Isaiah 65:15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my children. For the Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. For this verse has been previously explained in the connection with the 62nd chapter, page 155. For the class mentioned here is the same as in the volume 5, page 82. For the call to this chapter and solemn work was presented unto men of the learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in the Yahweh, he would have honored them with the bearing his standard and the triumph unto the victory. Verily they separated from the Yahweh, yielded unto the influence of the world, and the Yahweh rejected them. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Yahweh of the truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes, bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth. Many people will bless themselves, but not in the Yahweh of the truth. That is, they obtain riches or some other blessing, but not by the honesty. Some sweareth, but not by the Yahweh of the truth. That is, they will tell a falsehood, but after Yahweh purifies his church, all these things shall pass away and be forgotten. Isaiah 65:17-19 speak of the new earth. Isaiah 65:20 is here quoted from the Hebrew translation by the Isaac Lesher. There shall no more fence an infant of the few days, nor an old man that shall not have the full length of his day. Whereas a lad shall one die at 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed. He who dieth at 100 years old It seems this translation makes the meaning of the verse just a little plainer than the King James, for the scripture speaks of the time at the end of the 1,000 years, millennium, after the resurrection of the wicked. At that time, there will not be any births for the infants. There shall no more offense. For there shall be no more offense an infant of the dead. For the lesson, therefore, is not so difficult for the one to comprehend, for all the wicked are called forth in the second resurrection, whether old or young, at the time of the death, all come up at the same time. For this hour becomes the birth of all the wicked and the second life. There is to be no natural or unnatural death, for all must live the time of the second death. Okay, let's do it again. There is to be no natural or unnatural death, for all of the wicked after the millennium must live up to the time of the second death. That is by the fire coming down from the Yahweh out of the heaven, and with the devouring, and for the devouring of them. Read Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10. And as the sinner shall be accursed, he who dieth at 100 years old, for this scripture predicts the span of the life of the wicked after they are resurrected as being 100 years. For as a lad shall one die at 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed, for he who dieth at 100 years old, during this 100-year period, the wicked make preparations for their attack on the holy city. Read Revelation 20, verse 8 and 9, Isaiah 65, 21 and 25. Speak of the saints in the earth made new. Here is another evidence that the chapter is intended for the people at the time of the end, for the closing verse speaks of the earth made new. For the ingathering from the Gentiles worship in the new earth, Isaiah 66. This is our new subtitle topic to close out this synopsis of Isaiah. Verse 1, Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Yahweh, for the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built for unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Now he's asking that, said that they have been assured, where is the house that you built unto me? Well, I see it all over the world. It's got a Catholic steeple on top of each church building. That's the house you built for me here on earth, you Seventh-day Adventist. Well, you built me a house, looks just like St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, the Catholic. And you want me to come and dwell in it. He said, David had raised me up a tabernacle. Well, I'm going to dwell in when I come to the earth. This is the son talking. So he says, where is the house that you build unto me, you Seventh-day Adventist? And where is the place of my rest, you Seventh-day Adventist? For the house mentioned here is a spiritual house, as in the Ephesians 3:20-22, of which the Solomon Temple was a symbol. For Solomon's Temple was the Temple of David. That Solomon was commissioned to build his father's tabernacle and temple after David died. Okay, so this is the tabernacle of David. Of course, Solomon, he built it in another place from where David designated his temple to be built. Solomon promptly after David died, he moved that destination to another place so he could call it Solomon Temple. If he had built it in the place where David designated it, he'd have had to call it David's Temple. But Solomon, he coveted that temple in his name. People don't know this. Okay, but I know that. And it says, for the following quotation is found in the Prophets and Kings, page 35 to 36. Here it says, the building on the Mount Moriah was noiselessly uprooted with the stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. For the beautiful fittings were perfected according unto the pattern committed by David unto his son. See, David, he supplied the material, he supplied the pattern, and everything for his temple to be built in his name. And Solomon took all of that stuff, and he went, and after David died, he went to another place. He said, we're going to raise this temple up, and we're going to call it Solomon's Temple. Oh, he let the people call it Solomon's Temple. Anyway, it says, for the lesson intended here is that the spiritual stone, as the members of the church, are to be made ready before they are brought thither. Why then are candidates so often granted baptism and membership in the Adventist church without being instructed in all of the Adventist truth? It's surprising to know the large number of the so-called Seventh-day Adventists who do not believe in the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy and altogether ignorant of the truth in the health reform. Are not these the fundamental principles in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Is not health reform the right hand and arm of the third angel's message? Has not this continual practice drifted the church into the world? For that beautiful temple reveals Yahweh's desire for his church. For this reason, Yahweh lavished so much wealth upon this palatial structure upon the Mount Moriah. According to for the estimates given in the monthly bulletin of the Illinois Society of the Architects, it reached a tremendous total of more than $87 billion. For the several estimates show the total cost to have been $87,212,210,840. This sum represents the nation's wealth. But the question is, how did Israel ever raise such an enormous sum of money for the lavishing on the one single structure? Yahweh never asked us to do anything unless he himself makes it possible. For the tremendous amount of the wealth expended on this magnificent temple represents Yahweh's care and love for his people, as well as the glory of the church. Solomon recognized that this temple was but a symbol of a temple that she was not able to build. In 2 Chronicles 3:6 we read, but who is able to build him a house, as seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? For Yahweh asked his people at this present time, where is the house which you build unto me? Isaiah 66:1. Dewey's version reads, that you will build unto me. For the Hebrew translation reads, a house that you can build unto me. For the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. For this scripture shows the impossibility for a human mortal to do anything for the Yahweh except he does it through him. How offensive it must be to heaven when we say we are to finish Yahweh's work in this generation, or attempt to build him a house by the plans of man. We have said it and have acted like it, but we have failed. Now Yahweh asks us, where is the house that you will build unto me? One may say, see this great denomination we have built? If there is any greatness about it, it is not unto man's credit. Though we have boasted much of our effort, Yahweh lets us go on according unto our supposed wise judgment until we fall and discover our mistakes. True, it is a great denomination, but Yahweh does not see it the way we do. At the rate we are going, it would take us hundreds of years for the finishing of the work, and the fact of the matter is that we never can. Furthermore, as great as a denomination as it is not ready for the translation. Therefore, we can ask ourselves, where is the house that we have built? For the 13th chapter of the Ezekiel is written for the church at this present time, from which we quote Ezekiel 13:5. We have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Yahshua. Yahshua leads this last great battle here on earth himself. He comes from heaven. He takes his command post upon the throne in the kingdom of David, upon David's throne. Luke 1:32-33, Isaiah 9:6-8. And where is the place of my rest? For we call ourselves Sabbath keepers and boast much of keeping the commandments of the Yahweh, but here we are asked, where is the place of my rest? For we have polluted Yahweh's holy day. And that's the fact today. Today is a double holy day. This is the new moon Sabbath as well. How many Seventh-day Adventists are celebrating the seventh-day Sabbath today as a high holy Sabbath day? They're not. They are, inadvertently, they are setting this day aside to worship on this day in their temples around the world, but they don't know it's a new moon Sabbath as well. And desecrated, for the Sabbath with the merchandise, as previously explained on pages 147 and 8, see also 124, for a good minister of the Yahweh, after being questioned as for the authority and the selling of our publications on the Sabbath day in the house of Yahweh, said, for it is a question just how much of our publications are to be sold on the Sabbath. For the confliction in this minister's mind was answered in three short words, none of it. But this answer did not satisfy the man in the sacred position. And he added, ancient Israel killed a lamb and sacrificed it on the Sabbath. Therefore we can sell our books. The answer given to this was, if Israel did sacrifice the lamb on the seventh day Sabbath, they were told to do so, but they are told not to, and that is the difference. Now this is a mistake by B.T. Hollis. I've already corrected this once, and I've said it before, and I'm going to correct it again right now. Yes, the Israelites sacrificed lambs on the seventh day Sabbath. You go find that in Ezekiel 46, verse 4 and 12. You can find this in Numbers, I believe. Now, Vicki Hollis.
Go ahead.
Let's reread this last paragraph. Our last part of this paragraph. Therefore, we can sell our books, for the answer given unto this was, if Israel did sacrifice the lamb on the seventh day Sabbath, they were told to do so. But you, Seventh Day Adventists, are told to, and that is a difference. For the fact of the matter is that Yahweh did not give the seventh day Sabbath unto the ancient Israel for the sacrifice, the fourth day of the rest. Monthly Sabbaths were added for the sacrifices. Read Leviticus 23. We're gonna redo this a third time now. We're gonna do back up to where it says none of it. Verily, this answer did not satisfy the man and the sacred position. And he added, for the ancient Israel killed the lamb and sacrificed it on the Sabbath day. Therefore, we can sell our books, for the answer given unto this was, if Israel did sacrifice the lamb on the seventh day Sabbath, they were told to do so. But you, Seventh-day Adventists, are told not to, and that is the difference. For the fact of the matter is that Yahweh did give the seventh-day Sabbath unto the ancient Israel for the sacrifices, merely for a day of rest. Monthly Sabbaths were added for the sacrifices as well as on the seventh day Sabbath. And he says, read Leviticus 23. Okay, now let's go read Numbers 28, verse 9. It says, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two tenths to the other flour for a meat offering mingled with the oil, and the drink offering thereof. Now here it is, Numbers recording that the children of Israel offered two lambs on the seventh day Sabbath. That is one place. Now we go to Ezekiel 46, verse 4 and 12. It says that, and the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Yahweh and the Sabbath day shall be six lambs without blemish, and a ram without the blemish. There it is right there, six lambs. And verse 12, it says, now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or a peace offering voluntarily unto the Yahweh, one shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he did on the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day Sabbath. Then he shall go forth, and after his going forth, one shall shut the gate. Okay, there you have. There's proof right there that the Israel role sacrificed on the seventh day Sabbath. Now, beat your heart up. This is the second time in a row during this Isaiah, the gospel prophet, the synopsis of Isaiah, chapter 54 through 66, 13 chapters, V.T. Halder, and he gets to the most important part to interpret right, and he misinterpreted it. And this is what we're going to have to do. I'm going to have to, if at all possible, re-edit this whole shepherd rod and correct it, if the people in the future are going to be able to use it. Otherwise, we're going to have to let Yahweh take care of it. Now it says, in the second verse of Isaiah 66, Yahweh tells us that all these things that we boast of, he has made, and they have been, but unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Isaiah 66:3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a mouse. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. For the scripture is unmistakably plain that our sacrifices, offerings, prayers, and whatever form of religion we may have is not only an abomination unto him, but it is most offensive. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Isaiah 66:4. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Yahweh did call for these lessons when they came to the church through the Sabbath school departed, but they came and went and are forgotten. So then, because they have chosen their own way and did evil before the Yahweh and delighted not in the following of the instructions given for the SDH church, now he says he will choose their delusion and will bring their fear upon them. It is a fearful thing to turn a deaf ear unto the voice of Yahweh. While this verse speaks of a class who are determined to follow their own choice and the preference in the Yahweh's way, the next verse speaks of a class who do fear Yahweh and dare serve him. Thus it is unmistakably clear that there are two classes of people in the church. Isaiah 66:5. Hear the word of the Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahweh be glorified, that he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. This already happened at Kermit, Texas, the Gilead Center, 2002-2003, with the house of Esau and the house of Jacob. The two were in conflict against each other down there, and the house of Jacob went out. The house of Esau was cut off. Had Brother Johnson represented. For this verse shows that though the call and the lessons was turned down by those in the responsible position, Yahweh's word never returns void unto him. For the class in this verse fear Yahweh and tremble at his word. And the result is that there is a division in the church. For the class who are in the opposition of the Yahweh are either the majority, or those who have a stronger influence upon the members of the church. For the verse says, they cast out their brethren, the righteous class, for his name's sake. For the class who are casting out Yahweh's people think they are doing his service, for the scripture reads, they said, let the Yahshua be glorified. It is bad enough for one to turn down Yahweh's word, but it is far worse when such a one is so blinded that by the turning down of the heavenly call thinks that he is doing the Yahweh's service. For the verse holds an encouraging promise for the Yahweh fearing one. For it says, he shall appear unto your joy. And when the Yahweh fulfills his promise, the oppressors of Yahweh shall be ashamed. For it has been one of the Satan's tricks throughout the history of the SDA church, or the house of Israel, to flood her with his agents. That's starting with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt in 1500 B.C. unconverted, so that when the truth comes to the church, as soon as Yahweh's people respond to the call, he stands ready to vote them out by a majority of his followers. For the result has been that necessity gave birth unto a new movement or denomination, but according unto Isaiah 64:6, Yahweh is a deal entirely different in this instance. For the reason being, because Yahweh organized this denomination himself by a prophet, Ellen G. White, actually by a prophetess, and has given us special light of the present truth. Thus it leaves us without the excuse, and Yahweh deals accordingly with the people. Quoting Volume 3, page 265, but if the sins of the people are passed over by those in the responsible position, his frown will be upon them, and the people of Yahweh as a body will be held responsible for those sins. In his dealings with his people in the past, Yahweh shows the necessity of the purifying the church from the wrong. For the voice of the noise, the sixth verse, has reference unto the past who have chosen their own way and the preference unto the Yahweh's way, whom he calls his enemies, Isaiah 66:7-8. Before she travailed, she brought forth; before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. In these two verses, a comparison is made with the church at the first coming of the Jewish church at the cross, and the church just prior unto his second coming, before she travailed, before her pain came. This refers to the church at the time that the Yahshua came. She did not expect him, travail not, nor did she feel or know when he came. Though she was not worthy, she was delivered of a man-child. Okay, for the church referred to in the eighth verse is the opposite of the one in the seventh verse. For the time is ripe for a mighty movement. Okay, now this movement is talking about the fifth movement of Matthew 20:6, of those fifth group of laborers that is called at the 11th hour. And that's the end of the 11th hour, which ended in 2003, it's from a text, and the time of the latter rain. So the latter rain fell on the house of David, but it fell on the house of Esau, all of us together down at Kermit 2003. The latter rain fell. It's just the house of Esau, Voters Johnson and Company, put their umbrellas up. They wouldn't let the rain fall on them. For the loud cry of the third angel's message, the church has become thoroughly in the earnest as soon as there is a real travail for the purity of the sinners. The work is finished almost at once. Shall the earth bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. For the ninth verse shows that Yahweh is the one who does the work. For the tenth verse says, those who love her, the church, and mourn for her now, will rejoice and be glad. For the 11th verse shows that why they will rejoice and be delighted, because of the truth and the light in the Yahweh's word that will come unto the church, represented by the milk. Okay, so the milk represents the house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, where Yahshua and David are reigning together upon the throne of David and the tabernacle of David, Daniel 2:44-45, that she may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that she may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory, Isaiah 66:11, Isaiah 66:12-14, tell of Yahweh's care over his people, and the church's love for her members, for the Yahweh's favor toward his servants, and indignation toward his enemies. Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire. This is the Son, Yahshua. And with his church like a whirlwind. He's going to come with his flying saucers. And what does it say in Psalms? How many flying saucers does heaven have? They have 20,000 flying saucers. Well, I believe it's in Psalm 68. To render his anger with the fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua feed with all the flesh. And the slain of the Yahshua shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind the one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Yahshua. For the coming of the Yahshua with the fire to render his anger with fury is not the coming of the Yahshua and the clouds for the receiving of his people. It is before the close of the probation and in the time of the purification of the church by the bringing forth of the first fruits harvest of the 144,000 out of the Adventist church. See Malachi 3:1-3. For he comes with the vengeance unto those who claim his name. Here they follow man instead of Yahshua, and the result is that they do not keep the truth. For the class who do not investigate for themselves but accept the decision of the others, who are following after man and are in the clutches of the devil, behind the one tree, margin reads, one after another. For the reading here justifies the translation. Following the leader, that is, people are inclined to follow a man in the high position instead of searching in the word for themselves and demand a thus saith the Yahweh. For the gardens behind the one tree, this phrase also suggests the tree of knowledge of the good and the evil. That partaking of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden brought sin into the existence. For the charge here is similar, only worse. Men have chosen for their fruit the things Yahweh has forbidden, and spent money for that which is not bread. By his sword will the Yahshua feed with all flesh. This has no reference unto those outside the church. For we read in Isaiah 66:19, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, of the last part, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. It is plain here that those who shall escape the ruin, Yahweh shall send unto all the nations and declare his glory unto the Gentiles. Therefore, it must be in the church only, and some length of time before the close of the probation. For the nations mentioned in the 19th verse is simple to show the large territory covered by his servant and all nations. For the destruction mentioned in Isaiah 66:15-17 and Isaiah 63 is the same. Thus Yahweh makes them an example, or sign unto all nations. For we read in the last part of the 18th verse, and the first part of the 19th, it shall come to pass that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. Isaiah 66:20, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations upon the horses and in the chariots, and in the litters, upon the mules, upon the swift beast, unto my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith to Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Yahshua. For this verse shows the end gathering of the Gentiles unto the church by his service, 144,000, holy mountain, means his denomination. Jerusalem means the leading part. Isaiah 6:21. And I will also take of them for priests. I said, I'm talking about their Gentiles, the leaders from those Gentile nations. I said, I will take of them for priests as well, for their people. And for the Levites, said to Yahshua. For we have previously explained that the 144,000 are to be priests and Levites. But in this verse, the Yahshua says he will take also of the Gentiles for priests and Levites. For the reason for this is given in the next two verses, Isaiah 6:23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon unto another, and from one Sabbath unto another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, said the Yahshua. There is to be a system of worship, therefore, a need of the priests and Levites. For these people that are left in these nations, yet, and on these islands of the Gentile world. After 144,000 are gathered here in the United States, out of the Advent Church, they are being prepared here to go to the nations to get their Gentile brethren. But until that happens, their Gentile brethren is also be keeping the feast days and the new moons and all of that, waiting for the 144,000 to come and get them. So the gospel of the plan of salvation of the brethren ever has to come has already been taught and reached those Gentile nations, even before or after the 144,000 are gathered. Isaiah 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence unto all flesh, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. For man's body is consumed by the worms, and the meaning is that these consuming worms will not die until the body is reduced unto dust. Neither will the fire be quenched till the carcasses are reduced unto the ashes. For the reason why the worm and fire are mentioned here is told in the 16th verse. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua feed with all the flesh. For the destruction is accomplished by both, and where the sword is used, the worm will do its work. For the worm shall not die, for the fire shall not be quenched, means that the prophecy is sure and the destruction foretold will be accomplished. This brings in verse 36, our contact is at the 11th hour call. It's number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a Sands Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. Well, I'm going to Mississippi. That's the town Sands Hill. There, there are no pretenders, only those who do God's will. Won't you go with me to Zion till we can walk from amongst the flowers and trills? That's the beauty that is all around those Zion hills of the bound. Don't you make it easy, he's the way we're bound to go. Some with many more stars than others, each star represents the soul. Won't you go with me in Zion till we can walk among the flowers and trills? That's the beauty that is all around on Zion Hill of the Crown. When I get to the city,
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.